you, Heidi, for sharing that. You know, we all always share those kind of good things because sometimes we pray and we pray doing so almost perfunctory, like, you know, well, Lord, I know I'm supposed to pray, but I know you're not going to do anything about it. So let me word this quickly. But really, I think God always answers prayers. Sometimes it's yes, sometimes it's no, and sometimes it's wait a little while. But God is working, and we need to somehow or another get that in our minds and hearts. And prayer is one of the most powerful tools that we have in our arsenal as Christian people. Let me just, when you're turning to Ephesians chapter 5, down there in verse 15, remind you that Tuesday is election day. If you have registered, you can vote. I hope you have, and I hope you'll take advantage of that opportunity to vote your conscience and what God would lay on your heart to and who to vote for. All right, verse 15, Paul says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Lord, again, we just bow our heads and thank you for this good word that Heidi shared with us. We pray, Father, that you will continue to work. And we pray, Father, that you will be in these days ahead. Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit would just seek out and work in every life. Lord, we know that there is a great need in this country and around the world, in our country, for a turning back to Jesus, to once again acknowledge God and acknowledge you and praise you for your greatness and your glory and your goodness and your grace to us. So, Lord, help us that we not be slow, that we not be weary and well-doing, but we would stand for you until you give us that last breath and we sing hallelujah. We thank you for it. Be with us now. If decisions need to be made this morning, openly and publicly, I pray they'll be done so to honor Jesus, for it's in his precious name I pray. Amen. Lisa. Yes, Bob and Betty Lindstrom. I don't know if everybody got to see them, but this is Diane's mom and dad. And, of course, you know, Diane went home to be the Lord some years ago. I always wonder, you know, why am I here and that wonderful girl is in heaven. But I don't know, Betty, and I hope you don't take this wrong, but I understood, you know, sometimes doctors and nurses and those kind of people need to see a Christian die. There's a difference there. There's a difference. Matter of fact, it was years later that I was over at Parkview Randalia. It was just Parkview at that particular time, but years later, and I happened to hear a doctor say something about going into Diane's room. And he said he went in and he noticed a picture sitting on her desk. He thought it was a picture of his sister. That's what caught his attention. And then he looked at it and saw it. And it wasn't his sister. But he thought to himself, and he shared this with a group of nurses. I don't know what they were doing, some kind of little meeting they have, I guess, every morning to get things going or something like that. And I just happened to be there. And he said that he thought that he needed to be reminded that Diane was not just somebody, but she was a precious child who had a mother and a father, brothers, sisters, like he had a sister that he thought that was. And so, you know, God works. God works. We need to praise him for it. Well, back in 1970, you say you live in 1970, there was a rock group called Chicago. Anybody ever heard of that? Oh, okay. Okay, I'm not the only one. All right, good. And they had a big smash hit. And the title of the song was, "Does Anybody Really Know What Time It Is?" Remember that? Well, verse 1 went something like this. "As I was walking down the street one day, a man came up to me and asked me what the time was that was on my watch. And I said, 'Does anybody really know what time it is? Does anybody really care? If so, I can't imagine why, oh no, 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 we're all got time to cry.'" Well, you know, misspent youth, But nevertheless, I think it is an appropriate thing, talking about time this morning. It's ironic, isn't it? How we're obsessed with time. We're obsessed with it. We know that there's a limit to our time. And we're just upset. I know in our house, for example, in the family room, we have a clock. It's over there by the mantel. And then there's one in the dining room. As you turn around and go that way, hanging on the wall over there. And then in the kitchen, there's a microwave that has a digital clock, you know. And then we've got a clock on the TV set. We've got clocks everywhere. The most interesting thing about it is none of them have the same time. Really? One will say 9 o'clock, one will say 9:04, one will say 9:02. You know, they're close, but they're not the same. And, you know, I didn't know until I started doing some research about time this week that the National Institute of Standards and Technology, ever hear of such thing? I hadn't either, has a radio station in Fort Collins, Colorado, that broadcasts the time of day every day in seconds. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I thought, oh my gosh, wow. These guys are really time fanatics, aren't they? Well, as I understand it, we measure time by the rotation of the earth. How long it takes the earth to revolve around the sun. And some would say, well, this is just simple mathematics. You just add that up and you'll get the time. But you know, that's not true. You see, the earth that we live on wobbles a bit. Did you know that? It wobbles a little bit. There are other variables that have to do with its rotation and stuff. Volcanic activity, and of course, there are a lot of folks that like to point that out. You know, oh my goodness, we're all going to die. A volcano erupted somewhere. Well, it does have some respect to our Earth. Freezing and thawing of the polar ice caps. You know, sometimes they freeze and sometimes they thaw. Did you know that? Solar flares. I saw TB and Lorene here just a few weeks ago, and I don't know if you remember this or not, but when they first moved back to Arkansas, they'd been in their house for a little while, and this little lady came by and was welcoming to the community and those kind of things. And so they were standing on the front porch, and this lady said to Lorene, that's TB's wife, she said, do you want some flares? And Lorene thought, flares? And TB immediately, he said, honey, she's talking about flowers. So in Arkansas, they might want to talk to you about flares. But there are solar flares as well, and those affect the rotation of the earth. Slightly, these things happen. Milliseconds. But they defy our calculation. They really do. Just as in our lives, we defy precise calculation. I understand that insurance companies have what they call charts and cables and all that kind of stuff, and they can tell when people are going to die. They just can't tell who. Seconds turn into minutes, hours turn into days, months turn into years, and we find out and wake up one fine day that we're just as old as the hills. Yeah. And does anybody really care? Probably not. Probably not. But my answer is that God knows exactly what time it is, and God cares. We must understand this concept. We live in a physical world. It has length, breadth, height, and time. God, however, is a spirit, and we must worship him in spirit and in truth. He is not limited by space and time or dimensions or any of those kind of things. Matter of fact, in Isaiah chapter 57, verse 15, it says, for thus saith the Lord, the high and lofty one who inhabits the eternity, whose name is great. Psalms 90, verse 4 says, for 1,000 years is in thy sight, or but a yesterday when it is past. Verse 10, the days of our years are 70 years and 10. By reason of strength, they might be 80 years. Yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. Who knoweth, the psalmist said, the power of thine anger, even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. Then he tells us a very wonderful thing. I always read this at funerals. You say, well, you only have two or three verses that you have memorized. Well, okay, maybe. But I like this because it says, so teach us to number our days that we might get a heart of wisdom. Wouldn't that be great if we actually saw things as God sees things? If we actually anticipated things as God tends to bless us each and every day and surprise us with those blessings? If we really understood and had a heart for God. Over there in 2 Peter, Peter states, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. God's not worried about time, but God knows what time it is. The making of time is really irrelevant to God because he transcends time and space. But we're slaves to time, and we're instructed to use it wisely. Use it wisely. Over in 2 Samuel, chapter 11, verse 1, we have a very interesting passage. It goes like this. It's happened in the spring of the year, Samuel says, as kings go out to battle, that David, King David, sent Joab, Joab was one of David's top generals, and his servants with him, and all Israel, and they destroy the people of Ammon, besiege Rahab. And here is the critical phrase. But David remained in Jerusalem. You see, normally David would have been in the field with his army leading it. But on this occasion, David stayed in Jerusalem. And you know the story. David was milling around. You see, he should have been doing something else. He should have been doing something else. But he decided to stay in Jerusalem. And he was milling around in Jerusalem, and he got up on top of his roof, and of course that was a normal thing because it was a little bit cooler and all those kind of things. He goes up on top of the roof, and he looks over there, and whoa! The scripture doesn't say that, but I think probably David sent three or four people. Who is that? Who is that? Who is that? And of course you know it was Bathsheba. And so what's happening there is what happens to us a lot of times. He was in the wrong place doing the wrong things, and because he was in the wrong place doing the wrong things, some terrible things were going to happen. He was setting into motion. David looked upon Bathsheba, the scripture says, and this great king was consumed with lust. Bathsheba became pregnant, you know the story, which led David to call Joab, her husband, back home. David welcomes him, says, "Well, my general, everything's going well and all this kind of stuff. Why don't you go home and eat supper at your house and enjoy the pleasures of your home and all those kind of things and just relax." But Joab said, "No, I can't do that. I cannot do that because my men are still in the field." And so he wouldn't go in the house. I think the scripture indicates that David tried real hard to get him to go in the house. David's idleness resulted in adultery. That's bad. But that resulted in what? Murder. Because Joab wouldn't go home, they wouldn't go inside, and so David then sent him back to the front lines with a little message. You know, he had one in his pocket. Put this guy in the front someplace in the heat of battle. What was he doing? Setting him up to be killed. Now, you know, I don't know about you. I get so sick and tired of some of this kind of stuff. But listen, God says choose life. David chose to murder his friend, his general, and those highly respected he was, he chose to murder him to do what? To cover up sin. I don't know about you. Again, like I said, I'm not smart enough to figure some of this stuff out very much, but you know, when the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade, they didn't do a thing except say, go back to the states, and whatever the states say, that's what the policy is. And you had hundreds, maybe thousands, I don't know. The news people probably ginned up some of that stuff. And women in the street, it's my body, blah, blah, blah. Listen. Sure, it's your body. How about using it wisely? How about realizing that in that womb grows a baby, and if you don't kill it, it'll be a baby born to you. It might be a precious thing to you. It should be. But we're in the wrong spot at the wrong time, thinking the wrong things. That's what David was doing. Proverbs says, he who has a slack hand becomes poor, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. We're supposed to work. We're supposed to do that. I work for Smith Plumbing in Fort Long Beach. Every summer, between my college work, and they assigned me to a plumber, and I was supposed to be the plumber's helper. And the guy's name was Joe Sinn, S-I-N-N. God's got just a great sense of humor. Because it didn't take very long for the shop to realize that, why are you here, Michael Harris? You're here to make a little money in the summertime so you can go back to college because you think God's calling you to preach. And so they said, the sinner and the preacher. And all kinds of jokes we got about that. Well, they assigned us one summer to a Gulf Power building. Gulf Power is the electrical company for Northwest Florida. And they were building this big, huge building. Prefab concrete stuff and all this kind of stuff. But they had already put up the outside walls, and the inside of that building were just big, huge piles of dirt. Normally, somebody would have come along and kind of leveled that out a little bit. But they got ahead of themselves and put the walls around so you couldn't get some kind of dozer or something like that in there to level it out. So guess what we had to do? We had to fire up our Alabama backhoes. Do you know what Alabama is? We had to fire that up. And we had to start digging because we got to go over there. And I'm with this guy. His name was Richard. Richard Williams. If anybody ever loved to shovel, he did. How can you love to shovel? You know, here we are in 105 degrees, sweat running off you. And I'm going, oh. And Richard's going, And every now and then you'd come to a hill that maybe 4 or 5 foot high. So now we've got to like dig a tunnel. Because we see, we got to put our pipe in there. So we digged and we dug. We did all these same things. Our plumber, Joe, thought to himself, listen, I'm the master plumber. I'm the one that knows how to read all these things. And I can tell these guys, go this way and go that way. And I'll go take a cup of coffee, go eat at the cafe. I'll come check on you about 2:30. You go home. And Mike, you make out the time cards. Well, Richard and I, we were working. What was Joe doing? I'm not sure exactly, but I was just a peon. So you know what I did? I filled out his card too, as if he was there. I think there was one week he wasn't there at all. But he was drawing his pay because I was filling out the card. Ooh, yeah. Well, it was hard work, hot work, and those kind of things. And I never even thought about it. Most of the time just complaining. Oh, Richard, would you? I'd buy him a Coke to just get him to quit shoveling. I think the guy was a human backhoe. Just boom, like that. I'd buy him a Coke. Just slow down, Richard. You're killing me, you know? And so I never even thought about it. So we got done with all that kind of stuff. Smith Plumbing was having some difficulties because they'd invested some money over in Mississippi. And so they laid off some guys. And they laid off Richard. And I thought to myself, boy, this company doesn't know what they're doing. He's the best worker they got. I'm a dud. I don't know anything. and then Joe's not working either, but you, the guy that's really working, you laid off. So anyway, so Richard's not there anymore. Joe came out. He said, I don't know what we're going to do. He said, but I'm not staying out here. He said, we can't accomplish a thing. You've already got the ditches dug and everything like that. And he said, but here's, you got to do something, right? So he gave me a piece of paper that had all kinds of little, a U joint, a T, all that kind of stuff. How many jars of PVC glue did we have? So I was taking an inventory. So I'm in this big trailer, and I'm looking in here, and I'm doing this. Oh, man, it was hot in that trailer. Who thought of that idea? And so anyway, I'm writing all this stuff down. And I did that for about 6 or 8 days, and I didn't ever see Joe, period. But we had this guy from the carpenter crew. And I was sitting there writing stuff down. Well, what I was doing was just getting out of the sun. He come over and he said, hey, I want to tell you something. I said, what? He says, you know, we've been watching you. I thought, uh-oh, they've been watching me. Oh, my goodness, you know. I'm thinking, don't tell Smith, I need this job. I need a few bucks, you know. He said, we've been watching you. He said, we've been talking about you at lunch hour. Because those guys would take their bag, their lunch and everything like that. And he said, you know what? He said, I want to thank you. He said, I know Joe has not been here at all. They fired Richard or laid him off. And so you're the only guy left. He said, I have a feeling that Joe's having you do make work stuff. I said, oh, yeah, that's what I'm doing. Counting stuff. He said, but you know what? He said, I told my guys on my crew that we needed to keep up with you. What? I was trying to get out of everything I could possibly get out of, but they're going to keep up with me. Listen, idleness produces something that's not going to be good. In this case, David's idleness, not being in the right place, not doing what he was supposed to be doing, ended up in Bathsheba becoming pregnant and Joab being murdered. Well, I can thank the Lord that when they put up that concrete stuff, nothing ever fell down. That's for sure. But that happens, doesn't it? Proverbs says, he who has a slack hand becomes poor, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. God will bless our endeavors, our work. Proverbs 6 says, go to the ant, thou sluggard. I remember Dennis quotes this one several times. Consider her ways and be wise. Look at that ant. She's just working away, working away. You see, ants are task-oriented, aren't they? They're diligent about what they're doing. The whole colony depends on those individual ants doing all those kind of things. Ants don't work hard just because the queen can see it. They don't need external motivation. You say, well, that's what they're worker ants. They just work and die and eat them and all that kind of stuff. Well, okay. But listen, there's wisdom in self-motivation. I think if I had not done some of those things that I didn't want to do, I'd have been so bored that summer, I'd have never made it to the summer. It was extremely hot, and I just would have left and did something else. But listen, we only have so much time. It's a commodity. We shouldn't waste it. Psalms 90 says, so teach us to number our days. Isn't that amazing? That we might get a heart of what? Wisdom. Wisdom. Some math person broke it down this way. And it's not me. I read this. I found this illustration because I'm not, 2 and 2 is 5 in my book. Well, maybe not, but pretty close to it. 24 hours in a day, 7 days a week, 144,000 minutes, 86,000 seconds. This guy's got more time on his hand than he knows what to do with, right? Somebody did that. But how do we use the gift that God has given us? It is a gift. Again, Psalms 90:12 says, so teach us to number our days. We might get a heart of wisdom. Teach us. We got to learn. It doesn't come naturally. We don't really want to do it. Hesitate. Stand back as much as we possibly can and all those kind of things. But we want to learn. Paul exhorts us over there in Ephesians 5:16. He says, redeeming the time because the days are what? Evil. Redeem means to buy it back, doesn't it? To buy it back. Make the most of it. You know, I'm learning it's very important to start your day off right. I don't know how many times I start my day off intending to do right and something happens or whatever. The dog wants in, the dog wants out. We have a collie dog, we have a German Shepherd dog, and then we have this beautiful little Hugo person, this Todd's dog. And they're always doing something. They're wanting to go to the bathroom. They want to get a drink of water. They want to eat dog food. They don't want that dog food. They want some other kind of dog food. You know, it's like that. So you let them in, you let them out. My wife has to be a mediator because I think to myself, let's let this, the collie wants to get out anytime he can in the front yard. And he did that one time. And the, what do you call those? Dog police people came and got him. And it cost us $29 to get that fellow back. We were glad to get him back. I don't know why, but we were. And, but the Humane Society said, now listen, if he gets picked up again like this, probably you can't get him out of jail. And you know what I thought? It won't be my fault. They'll do away with him, you know. My wife said, I'm doing the moonwalk. I put my tennis shoes on, and he is just shedding like you wouldn't believe it. And so I go like that. What am I doing? Picking up hair with my shoes. And I get a good ball of it, and I put it in the trash can. And I turn around, and there's Hugo over by Todd. And he's got dark hair, clumpy hair. And while I was picking up this hair, he was laying down more of a hair. I can't see the German Shepherd's hair, but I can see those two guys. But listen, we have to do what we need to do. Sometimes I like to do the vacuuming. You know why? Because everybody's asleep. Todd's in there snoring. Caleb's in the piano room making some noise with the piano. Grayson just now got up, and I take the vacuum and I go around. I get some amusement out of it just because I'm irritating people, right? Yeah. I get up in the morning, brush my teeth, take a shower, and put on my clothes. But that's my physical body that I clothe, isn't it? We need to do the same thing with the inner man. We need to get up in the morning, pray, read our Bible, do something, ask for forgiveness. Get in the right position where God can bless us. I don't know how many times I've started that process and bought a little book or a tablet or something, and I do it for a little while, and I miss a day or two, and then I need to start again. You can't change what happened yesterday, can you? But you are in control of today. And if you have to start a million times, then keep doing it. Seize the day. God is giving us a chance every day to start out new. Maybe you've seen that Patton movie where it's Carpe Diem, you know, seize the day. Paul says, don't be foolish, be wise. It's practical wisdom that we need to get from the Lord. And those two dogs of ours and Todd's dog, constant doing something. Most of the time, Hugo gets up about 8 o'clock, 7:30, 8 o'clock. He gets up over by Todd and he goes, boo, boo. That means my wife's got to get up off her chair and go let him out or something like that. Sometimes I'm upstairs and I can hear him, but I just cover my head up like I can. You know, boo, boo, boo. But the collie and the German Shepherd, these boys are their charges. And so they lay outside the door in the hallway. But Baxter, that's the collie. What a name for a dog, right? Baxter? Grayson's dog. We call him Bax for short. I was sleeping fairly nicely. It was about 4 o'clock in the morning. And I feel this breath on my face. I woke up and there he is. And he goes, you know. So I thought I'll pet him, make him lay down maybe, you know, pet him a little bit. So I started to reach over to touch his head and he backed up. He was bound and determined I was going to get up. Because when he went into the bed, he went, burr, and he's got a big voice. I thought, oh gosh, 4 o'clock in the morning. I was thinking to myself, can my wife hear him? Maybe I can pretend like I'm asleep and she'll hear. But anyway, I got up, went downstairs, opened the back door. He goes out, Lily's goes out. It was a beautiful morning, actually. And so Baxter has a thing that he likes to do. He likes to go to the swimming pool and go up the steps and bark at the dog over there. If the dog over there is not barking, Baxter will get him barking. And if he's barking, Baxter will bark. And of course, my wife is always saying, get those dogs, stop that barking. Neighbors don't like that. Well, okay, yeah, I don't like it either. So I could not get him to come in. He was on the steps and he would look at me, you know, like, I'm not coming down, kind of thing. So it's 4 o'clock in the morning, right? Hey, don't tell anybody this, but my wife knows it's true. I came downstairs and I was just in my underwear. Let them out. Here's the dog barking. So I got to go get him. So I went and got the leash. I started going through the yard. And all of a sudden, I felt something squeeze through my toes. Uh-huh. Found it. Yep. So I went back and sat down on the picnic table. And I tried to find a stick. I should have warped the dog in the head with a stick, but I was trying to get that poop. Is that a word we can use? Off my feet. And of course, if I would have told my wife that, you know what she would have told me? Well, you needed to do a poop patrol yesterday. So I have to do the poop patrol. I get to step in the poop, all that kind of stuff. Isn't it a marvelous thing? I did get him. I brought him around to the front of the house because I was going to try to wash my foot off a little bit by the hose. Then I remembered I took the hose off because it's getting to winter, and I put the little thing on there. Oh, gosh. So, what? The cat. Oh, we got a cat, too. We got a snake, too. We just got a menagerie of things. I like the snake. He doesn't make any noise or anything like that. He doesn't bark or nothing. And so I went in the garage and I took some Windex and wiped my foot a little bit with that. Listen, don't go out in the backyard barefooted at 4 o'clock in the morning and you won't get dog excrement between your toes. I learned that. It's a life lesson learned. We need, as believers, to learn lessons. Sometimes we're doing that all the time. The devil puts poop out all over the place, and we're stepping in it all the time. It's kind of like landmines, and it blows up and gets us, oh, man, you know? Listen, Paul says, see then. Oh, I wish I could have saw that there. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. You know, that Greek word there is to understand, is to see. Is linked to the word circumspectly. As we walk through the devil's minefield, we are supposed to open our eyes and pay attention. We're supposed to remain alert. Don't be distracted. Don't fall for his gimmicks. Our walk is everything we do the moment we get up in the morning until we fall again and sleep that night. And Paul says, walk circumspectly. Three things. To see for us, to see life through the power and the wisdom of God. If we can do that, even when you have dog poop on your... Is this being recorded? Oh, well. On your foot. You can learn from that. I see this commercial on television talks about alcoholism, and the guy always says something about this is a disease and all that kind of stuff. I used to know a guy, his name was Jim Pond. He was right here in this church. Maybe some of you remember Jim. And Jim was an alcoholic, recovering alcoholic. He went to AA and all those kind of things. And when somebody would ask him, he would say, I'm an alcoholic. Because he said, I made life choices that almost ruined my life and my family's. It wasn't a disease that I caught. It was something I did. He told me one time that he was over at his sister's house over there, and they had a family gathering. And, of course, he has a couple brothers and some other people. And guess what? After you start barbecuing some hot dogs and all that kind of stuff, guess what they do? Make out the brewski. They started drinking. And Jim said he went over and told his wife, listen, we got to go. If I stay here any longer, I'm going to start drinking. And if I start drinking, I'm going to be back in the dumpster again. We've got to learn what our strengths are and what our weaknesses are. Don't hide them. Learn from them and give them to God. Carefully we need to do these things. Our lives, carefully live them out in the court of Christ's love, not just for time, but for eternity. Are you wandering through life aimlessly, or you have a purpose? We're supposed to use our spiritual gifts, don't we? We've done this over the years many times, had a little piece of paper, have spiritual gifts on there, and I'll ask people to check those spiritual gifts or whatever like that, and sometimes we get those back, and they're blank. And I guess what the person who did that was telling me, I don't have any spiritual gifts. That's not true. I believe with all my heart, when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, God, it gives you at least one gift. And because God is gracious and generous, he probably gives you more. Why does he give you those? To use. Sometimes it's amazing. We used to have a lady here. Her name is Dorothy Richards. She taught Sunday school for 34 years. I don't know how many times I would see little kids who were now bigger kids come up and hug her and greet her. And they'd run by and say, hi, Pastor. She made a difference in their lives. They were thanking her. They were loving her. They loved her. Because of the sacrifice she made in teaching them the Word of God. And she did so in such a way that love was real to them. They'll never get out from under that. And isn't that what? They shouldn't. The psalmist also says, for a day in thy courts is better than anything else 1,000 years. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. Never think that who you are doesn't matter. You're one of God's precious stones. Never think that God cannot use you. He can use you, and he will use you. Sometimes you won't even know he's using you, but he will use you. And look every day to that gift that God has given to you and use it. Today is the day. Lisa, go ahead. You can do whatever you'd like. She was, wasn't she? She really was. Listen, today is the day the Lord has made. I will what? Rejoice and be glad in it. We need to use our gifts. We need to encourage each other as iron sharpens iron. Because you know what? What time is it? We don't really know, do we? I might walk out of this building here today, if we get a piece of chicken for lunch or something, get a chicken bone stuck in my throat and die. Could be. Who knows? I could get out here in the parking lot and Caleb could run over me in his little putt-putt car. Who knows? All kinds of things can happen. Seize the day for the Lord. Use the day. We can, and you will, and can be a blessing to all those around there. What time is it? I don't know what time it is according to God's clock in your life, but he's got you on time. Use it. Father, thank you. As the Apostle Paul has encouraged us here, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, where is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Father, thank you for the day you've given us, a beautiful day. Pray, Father God, that you'll continue to just work in our lives today and those days that you give us. Lord, we're gonna mess it up sometimes, most assuredly, many, many times. But all we have to do is confess that sin. You're faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness and back to square one, back to be in your service, back to where God would have us to be, back where he can use us. Use us, Lord. Help us to be malleable in your hands. Lord, if there's decisions that need to be made this place, this time, pray, Father God, that you would work in each life. For these things I ask in Jesus' precious name.